first case in Canada was diagnosed on the 27th of January 2020. Update, as at yesterday, which is Saturday 18th of July 2020, at about 12 a.m., the statistics shows that about over 14 million people have been confirmed from COVID-19 worldwide. And out of these, almost 600 people have died. But in Canada here, we've recorded almost 110,000 cases by now, and almost 9,000 people have succumbed to COVID-19. But in this province of Alberta, we have slightly above 9,000 cases now, and about 167 people have died. They have said that yesterday, about 859 active cases that we have in Alberta. And out of these 859 cases, 385 cases are in the Calgary zone. And recently, just on Friday here, they declared outbreaks in Calgary again, somewhere in downtown, a restaurant there, a lounge, and a long-term facility. In that center in downtown, about 6 cases have been attributed to that restaurant. So these are the reasons why we need to be careful. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And I brought this scripture for a purpose. A lot of us believe that the COVID-19 pandemic, things like this have not happened before. But the fact is, there have been a lot of pandemics over the years. And that's why they say, the thing that has been is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Pandemics have been there over the past years. And more importantly, we need to talk about the Spanish flu of the 1918. That Spanish flu virus is particularly important because it's the deadliest in history. Estimated 20 to 50 million people died in that. Even some reports show that it might even be up to 100 million. But you know, they didn't have the technology that we have in contemporary times. So they were not really able to record as much as what happened. But we must know that up to about 1/3 of the world population then, which was about 1.5 billion, were affected by the disease. And it's worthy of note that this COVID-19 virus has the potentials to even affect more people. That's why we need to be more careful. But good for us today, we have a lot of social media for us to create awareness. So because of that, we expect that with all this awareness talk, we can bring down this value to the barest minimum. Why we are talking about this COVID-19 pandemic today, particularly, because it's not new. A lot of us know about it, but we are talking about it because there is this potential of a second wave. Because this Spanish virus flu that I talked about, it was most of the people who died in the Spanish flu pandemic were in the second wave. And a lot of people today, now as the coronavirus is waning, people are gradually starting to lose their guard, and this might lead to a resurgence. And we particularly need to be careful because we're in the summer. During the summer, flus usually do not propagate easily. So we are coming to a time again, which is the fall and the winter, which cause virus to thrive better. So we need to be much more careful that we don't lose our guards. The symptoms of COVID-19, a lot of us would have heard about it. There might be worsening cough or new onset cough. Some people present with shortness of breath, difficulty in breathing, or fever. Fever, usually the temperature is as high as 38 degrees Celsius or more. Then some people present with chills, they shake, they have cold. Then some have fatigue and weakness, body aches and headaches that might be usual from what you experience, but might be severe this time. Then some people have loss of smell or taste. Then some people have abdominal pain, diarrhea, vomiting, skin changes and rash, more importantly in the children. Then feeling unwell. Then there are a lot of other symptoms and diseases that have not even been documented. And when the disease gets worse while in the hospital, there are cases of people who have lost even their limbs because of a gangrene, what we call gangrene. That means the limb is dead because blood supply to those areas were lost. So various manifestations. But when in these days, when you see someone cough, it might not be COVID, but you just need to be careful. How does coronavirus spread? They are mostly spread from infected persons to non-infected persons. And usually this is droplets. That means the things that leave the person when they cough or sneeze. These droplets, luckily, they fall into the ground. They don't spread in the air and just be moving around. That's why, if not, almost everybody would have contracted the infection by now. So these are the reasons that we need to be more careful. Remember what we call social and physical distancing. We'll come to that. So it can also be spread by touching contaminated surfaces. So when a surface is contaminated, you touch it and you now use it to touch your mouth or your nose or your face, then that person might have a chance of having the infection. So these are the reasons why we advise that these days someone has to avoid touching the face, at least when you are outside your home. We'll quickly talk about some frequently used terminologies. We hear about quarantine, self-isolation, isolate, all these things, this period. We just need to really know what they are. Quarantine is what they call self-isolation these days. What it means is this person does not have the disease. It doesn't have symptoms. But you need to be on your own for 14 days because either you've come in close contact with someone that has had COVID-19 or you have traveled outside Canada, because you know when you travel, you meet a lot of people, you pass through from coming from all over the world, so you don't know who is who. So because there might be a chance that that person might have contracted it, they are advised to go and stay in a place, secluded place, for 14 days. 14 days because the coronavirus, it takes from 1 to 14 days for someone who has come in contact with the virus to start manifesting it. So after 14 days, there's a likely chance that that person does not have the virus. So that person has to stay away for 14 days. But when we talk about isolate is for people who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 or have symptoms and are waiting to hear the result. That means this person has started to manifest symptoms already or came in contact with close person who has been diagnosed and starting to feel unwell and all those things. So for the sake of the public, these people have to be isolated. So how do we prevent coronavirus? First and foremost, we need to, for those of us who work especially, there are a lot of self-assessment surveys in Canada these days, especially those who who work in a corporate organization, they give you stuff that you need to fill. And these forms, usually these surveys are just about all the symptoms we listed, history of traveling and all those things. So every day, it is meant to remind you of all these things. So if the person has one of these things, they say, okay, the next move. So we also have to think about the actions that we must take to stay healthy and prevent others from falling ill. So we have to prevent the spread of the disease. If we have this in our minds, in our subconscious daily, then we are able to cut down the spread of this disease. Then we try these days, we have to stay at home as much as possible. We need to limit ourselves to just the essential trips. We must explore possibilities of working from home. There are a lot of people who are working from home these days, and if you are able to work from home, you have to talk to your employer. If you are not self-employed, that you want to work from home, and the government has mandated people to ensure that as many as possible that can work from home, you work from home. And the good thing is, there are a lot of studies that have been done over this period to check the efficiency of men and women at work, and it's been shown consistently that there is no significant difference between working from home and working at the office for those who are able to work from home. So we must do this. Then we must avoid group gatherings where people cluster together. We must stay away. Then we must maintain, we'll talk about social distancing shortly, at least 2 arms length from every individual, especially when we go outside from our home. Maybe we'll go to grocery shops and the rest. But it is worthy of note that people who stay in the same house, like father, mother, children, and relations who live in the same house, you don't need to maintain social distancing. People can stay together, so there won't be problems with that. Then we must try to go out to have some exercise. It's good, this period. I'll talk about it later so that we won't have to waste time. Why we need to go out these days as well. We don't need to say because there's COVID-19 there, we just stay indoors, we don't go out, because going outside also is also good for our immunity. We'll talk about it later. So, but who are those who are qualified to go out for a walk? You must not have been diagnosed of COVID-19. That means there must not be, for those that had the disease, that they've been confirmed negative, they can go out, but there must be no active disease. Then the person should not have symptoms that look like COVID-19, despite the fact it's not COVID-19. But for anyone who has symptoms that are like the ones you see in COVID-19, those people can't go for a walk. Then you must not have traveled outside Canada for the past 14 days. Because if you do this, you should be in self-isolation. So you must not have been in self-isolation in these 14 days, and you are not isolating. That means for people who have been confirmed with the disease. Then if you go for a walk, you must maintain the physical distancing. That means the 2 arms length from every other individual. So what do we mean by when we say social distancing? Social distancing, the same as physical distancing, is very key. In previous outbreaks and even in this COVID-19, it's been shown to be one of the most effective ways to prevent any spread of disease. Because when you are far from someone, the chances of getting that virus from that individual is slimmer than when you are close to the person. This means that we must change from our previous daily routines. Those days when you see someone coming from outside, you run, you hug the person. Some people give pecks, kisses, and all those things. But these days, you are advised not to do all these things because the world has changed, at least until we've been able to defeat this COVID-19. So then we also need to limit our contact with especially our loved individuals who are at high risk. We'll talk about this particular people later. These are mainly older people and people who have poor health, because the complications and the outcome of the disease in these individuals is worse than what you see in other people. A lot of people have had this disease and they have bounced back to work, but there are people who have it and the chances become very slim. It doesn't mean that there are there are still other people who didn't have all this stuff that have also died from the COVID-19. So we must keep distances, that is 2 arms length from every individual, and this is about 2 meters from others. That is what we call social distancing. Then, more also important is our hygiene. We must maintain proper hygiene, because when the environment is clean, the risk of spread of infection is usually limited. And how do we maintain proper hygiene? We must wash our hands clean. Luckily, we live in an environment where water shortage is not an issue. They've overcome these basic amenities. So we must wash our hands thoroughly with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, very well, appropriately. Then, if water is not readily available, we must use what? Hand sanitizers. But let's not forget, it's not really a substitute for washing our hands with water and soap. And there are various ways. Our mama there is showing how you do the hand washing and all those things. But we need to also know that the good news is this: the coronavirus is a virus that can easily be killed by water and soap. You get. So when we wash our hands very well, then we're able to defeat the virus. So even if I'm very sure many of us who are in this gathering today would have come in contact with the virus or the other, but because we wash our hands clean, then we're able to defeat it. Then also, when you are sneezing or coughing, you must use your arm to cover rather than your palm. And all this is cover with your arm. Then you stay far from other people, and also the tissues and all those things that you use, you must paper towel, you must discard in a safe place. Then avoid touching your hands and face with unwashed hands. Even if you washed your hands, especially when you are outside your home, try not to touch your hands and face at all. Then we must clean our environment very well. And how do we do this? We use their approved soaps and bleach, liquid soaps, and all those things that you can use to clean. And we can use bleach as well. Bleach, you can put 1 teaspoon, which is about 5 ml, into a cup of water that you can use to clean surfaces in the house, like the tables, the chairs, the door handles, knobs, and all those things, all the surfaces where you touch, the fridge handles, the freezer handles, all those things that you use at home. So when you use the boy, we must ensure that the place when you are using bleach, the atmosphere is well ventilated so that people who react to it might not react. Then we must keep away from children, because we know children are vulnerable. They can just take it and drink it. Then people have advocated, and in some place quarters already, it's been implemented that you must wear face masks, especially when you are in an enclosed public domain. So we must try as possible to comply with these directives, try as much as possible. Even if you are the only person wearing masks in the place, try to do. But it's better if everybody wears a mask, because if you wear a mask, the other person is not wearing a mask. There's also a tendency for that person to, who's not wearing a mask, to transfer the disease to those that are wearing as well, because the mask is not 100% protective. So when we go to places like the shopping centers, the public transportation, and other places, places of worship and the rest, we need to wear masks very well. But we must know that mask alone will not spread, will not bring down the spread of the disease if we are not doing social distancing, which is very key. So we talk about going out. This might not be too applicable in these days, but it's still good that we know that it's always safer to wear long sleeve when you are going out, because it can protect your skin and all those things. When you come back, you are able to easily discard the clothes and you bathe. Then for women, they need to try as much as possible to pack their hair well, pack your hair well, then avoid wearing too much makeups or jewelry on your, especially your face. Why this is emphasized is, if it's too much, you might start to have some funny sensation or itching your face that you won't know when you start to rub your face with your hands, even when they are not clean. Then if it's possible for you, you try as much as possible to avoid public transportation, because there's been a lot of incidents that have been linked with public transportation, because it's also an enclosed space where you meet people coming from different destinations. Then you must take disposable tissues along with you at times when you are coming, because there are some surfaces that you might want to touch. You just put it, use it to touch your clean. Or when you touch, if you don't have that, have hand sanitizers when you outside, when you touch some things that you know that other people might have come in contact with, you just quickly use it to rub your hands. Then if you are, we've talked about this cough before, when you're coughing and sneezing, then wash your hands always, practice social distancing as we talked about. Then for those of us who are rearing dogs and other pets, when you take them, try as much as possible that they are not touching their, what they call it, surfaces. And their paws, you try to clean them, sanitize them when they come in. Then this period, if it's possible for you, try to avoid using currency, that is money, because you don't know where the money has gone to and where it's coming from. We are lucky enough that the society is mainly a cashless society, so we can do without having to touch money. Then another importantly is, when you are entering your home after going out, what do you need to do? You must remove your shoes outside. For instance, for those of us who have children who still crawl on the floor, play on the floor, you cannot be coming from a society where there is COVID-19, and you just wear your shoes into the room, and this time you know that a child is going to maybe lie down on that same floor and play. It's a dangerous act. So as you are coming, remove your shoes. Then the next thing you have to do is, if you went outside with your pet, disinfect the pet as well. Then remove your clothes. These days, I know people still, there are a lot of people who still want to wear another cloth, repeat the cloth again that they wore outside. It's possible, but it's advisable that when you come, just send your clothes to where you can wash them easily. Then you can remove your bags and all those things and put inside a place where no one else can get attached to it. But if you must wear the cloth again, put it, you can put it in your cloakroom, lock it where people will not get access to it. But the good thing is the virus, after nobody really knows, but some say up to 24, some say 48 hours usually, but most times after 48 hours, it might have died. But you can spray yourself if you have any disinfectant you can use to spray. Then have a shower or at least clean your hands. Then you cannot clean all those things that you brought from outside. Another thing. Then even your phones as well. It's not good that you take your phone out, maybe outside, obviously, then you just go and you put it on the ground, whereby maybe a child can take it and put in the mouth, or you yourself after touching it at home, because that your hand that you've been using to handle the phone outside might have been infected already. So it's not good that when you now come back, you now start to touch it again. So try to disinfect all those things. Then if you were wearing gloves outside, or you were wearing it to do all these things you were doing, then you can discard as well. All this is to try to minimize the infection. Then we must remind ourselves of quickly those that are vulnerable in the society. These are people over 60, 65 years, people who have compromised immunity because they've been diagnosed of one health condition, the other, maybe some diabetes, for instance, as a way of suppressing immunity. So someone that is diabetic, someone that has heart failure, someone that can have cancers or other forms of disease, their immunities are low. So these people amongst us should try as much as possible to avoid gatherings. Then if anyone has symptoms or you feel that you might have even had contact with someone that might have it, try as much as possible to stay away from these individuals, because you might still be immune to it, but these individuals might pick it. The sad aspect of it is some people might bring it from outside. They that themselves don't have problems, but the people that they will give it to might not be able to withstand the infection. Then travelers, because of reasons that we've mentioned before. Effect on pregnant women is still being studied, but because of the fact that pregnant women have been at risk of many infections in the past, they are just told to be careful now because we don't know how it can affect them. So, but these people should try as much as possible to maintain all the protocols that we've spoken about: hand hygiene, physical distancing, avoiding overcrowded places, especially in peak period, because in peak period, that's where you see all forms of people around. That's why you see that when you go to the Canadian superstores, for instance, these days between 7 and 8, they reserve it for elderly people, people with health conditions, so that they won't be at risk of the public. Then pregnant women avoid public transportation as much as possible. Coronavirus can survive on various surfaces, as we spoke about before. So as a result of that, we must try to clean them over and over again. Then, but we must also take note of the fact that these things can spend hours to even up to several days on these surfaces. So that's why your doorknob, for instance, now you cannot be coming from outside. Your doorknob that you know that you're going to touch again, you use it, touch it, you lock your door, then you go and bait. Then when you come back, you think you have cleaned up, but you forgot that your doorknob, you did not sanitize it. Then you now open the door to look outside again. That means that doorknob, you might have dropped some of the virus on the doorknob and you will not pick it up again and spread it inside there. So we must take particular note of these surfaces in our house that we touch always and try to clean them off as often as possible. Going forward, we need to talk about this, because presently there's been no cure at the moment that has been approved in Canada, though in several quarters, there are some drugs that they've been used, and we can see how the politics over these drugs have been. Some claim that they've gotten results, some claim they've not. But the truth is, there is really no cure but supportive management to COVID-19 patients. So, but when cure comes around, also importantly, when the vaccines come, there's no vaccine approved as well for now. But there are a lot of trials ongoing, some promising actually, but a lot of them will also tell you that there's no way that there will be an approved vaccine for another 1 year. That's why it is key for us to be prepared, especially if there's likely to be a second wave of this infection. But we have to know that vaccines and cure for this disease will change the whole world. But also, we also need to watch and pray because of the fact that there are a lot of postulations about the origin of this disease and all those things. So, but we can't talk about them much because we can only talk about what we see. But when vaccines and drugs come around, let's hope it can help us the way it has helped in the previous pandemics. But emphasis in the old words that say prevention is better than cure, which is true. If we have all these precautions and we are prevented, then he that is not sick does not need a physician. So there are also things that they've spoken about boosting of our immunity. Why is it particularly important? Because in the statistics from various parts of the world have shown that even in some populations, for instance, like the US, where the blacks make up a smaller percentage, they are minority in the system, yet they make up a very large chunk of the people who have died from this disease. And there are a lot of theories that have try to explain this, and one of them is the social standard, because you see that most of the menial jobs where you have to get contact with surfaces and human beings are done by blacks. But no one would tell them to stop work. We blacks here, we are a minority, but maybe someday, by the grace of God, we'll get up there. So, but we need to know that because of all those things, they need to, if there are people like that in the midst, they need to be more extra careful. And others, and then they talked about diet, but the good thing about diet is food is not a problem in North America. But what we need to do is we have to try as much as possible to eat this food. One thing is to have it, another thing is to eat it in good proportion. So as you see on the list, there are some foods that can help to boost immunity. This list is not exhaustive, but these ones are very important that we talk about. So we talk about the citrus, which includes the grapes, the oranges, the lemons, limes, tangerines, and cymentines. It's good. So for instance, people talk about when you wake up every morning, you can put lime inside water and drink. It can help your system. And there are a lot of postulations these days that a lot of diseases start in the gut. So when you're able to take care of it very well, then it's good. So we can do that. I know a lot of us eat all this food. So, but let's take note of the list so that we ensure that they are part of our diet these days. So we're talking about the spinach, the ginger, papaya, lobsters, bell peppers, almonds, chicken, sunflowers, turmeric, green tea, kiwi, shellfish. So let's try to make all these things part of our diet, because these foods, they contain some antioxidants like the vitamin C and other antioxidants that can help you to boost your immunity. When your immunity is boosted, then most times when you come in contact with all this stuff, you are able to succumb to it. So one way of looking at it is we take measures to prevent us from getting contact with the infection. But because we are not gone, we don't know if we have come in contact with it. We also boost our immunity in case we come in contact, how our body will be able to react. And we talk about the zinc as well. We also listed most of those things are also a part of the things that we listed before. Zinc also have been also be shown that some people who succumb to the disease have a reduction in their zinc and other level in their food. So when we eat all these things, people are talking about supplementing your diet with zinc, multivitamins. But the truth is, if you eat a well-balanced diet enough with all this, you don't need to supplement, because when you also take excess of zinc, just the same way reduced zinc can suppress your immunity, excess zinc can also do that. So that's why the healthy way that God has made us to remain alive is to what? Balance our diet. If we do that, then we don't have problems. Then I'll talk about a little of the vitamin D. Vitamin D is one vitamin that has been shown to be consistently low in most of the people that have died in this pandemic. And it's shown that, and that is one of the reasons that they are attributing to the black majority there, because blacks particularly are at risk of reduce vitamin D, because vitamin D, the main way that we get vitamin D that God did is through the sunlight. So that's why it is key that we go out. That's why we talked about walking, especially during the daylight. So we, our spouses, our children, we need to spend time in the sunlight. And because the black people have melanin, what we call melanin is a pigment on the skin that makes us black. That's what is an advantage for us too, because it protects us from the cancer sun can spread. But it also has a little disadvantage because it makes us not to be able to absorb enough vitamin D like the whites. For instance, the white people, if they stay even 30 minutes or slightly less in the sun in a day, they are able to get the vitamin D they need. But we will need to spend maybe close to an hour or even more to be able to absorb the same quantity. And we need about 1,000 international units. So in this period where the sun lights, let's enjoy it while it lasts. But when the sun gradually wanes, we must know that we need to supplement our diet. So for every adult and even children, we need to supplement our diet so we can consult with our family physicians and the rest. They will tell us what we need to do, but we need about 1,000 international units every day to keep up the vitamin level, which is very important. So as we gradually round up this talk, we must remember that there is a second wave. We are not prophet of doom, so we are not saying it must be there, but there's a strong possibility of second wave. So we need to watch and pray. For instance, you can see the recent surge in cases in the United States because of this lockdown that they've relaxed in a way. And also, even in Alberta here, cases have gone up about 105 cases by Friday. Hopefully by Monday, let's hope the numbers go down again. But you can see that when we relax, things go down again. Why we pray, it's good for us to pray as Christians, because it's God that is the giver of life and is the one that protects us from everything. But we also need to watch. We have to be observant, taking all these precautions that we have talked about. But we need not to be scared, because God has given us power over, dominion over all these things. And Jesus Christ, in the book of John 16:33, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace, because in the world ye shall have tribulations as we have this day. But you know that I said, but we should be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world." Christ has overcome the world. Then for our friends and people that we know, or anybody that has come in contact with this virus, and God forbid, anybody that has been diagnosed with this disease, they should also know that also God has the power to take them out of it. But it's not our portion, because he said, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in us." So nothing called sickness shall be found in our bodies, in the mighty name of Jesus. For those who have come in contact with the disease, God is able to also heal them, because he said, "If the spirit of him that raised Jesus dwells in us, that same spirit shall also quicken our mortal bodies by the same spirit that dwells in us." Lastly, I leave us with this word. 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So that is the God's above all wish for us, and I believe he will do that for us in Jesus' name. Before I go, I want to find out, I don't know if I still have any time, if there are any questions, so that people can ask as many as we can. We have answers to.
I have a question, sir.
Okay, ma.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, sir. I have 4 questions.
Oh, my God.